What a weekend, eh? Freedom ride, freedom run. The Hawks dismantled Richmond. Ah, yes, what a weekend. Anyway, have a seat and we'll get into the Word. I'll tell you about some more exciting things that are in the Word of God here this morning. So, you're probably aware that when we started this year, 2011, who's been having a good 2011? Anyone been having a good 2011? It's about what I'd expect, you know. You know, life goes, and we're going to talk a bit about that this morning. But we talked about having a confident year as a church, as individuals, as people, having a confident year. And I wasn't ever talking about, oh, you know, I'm so confident that everything's going to be all right. I'm talking about that you can be so confident because your confidence is in God. Because your confidence is in what God is going to do in you. It's about what God is going to do through you. It's about what God is going to do in us as individuals. It's about what God does through us. Collectively as a church, we can have a confident year. So we start a new theme this morning, a new series rather, and we're calling it Confidence in Battle. And there's no doubt that stuff happens in life, and we're in a battle. And what is a battle? I checked this out, you know, because I'm not as smart as you, so I needed to look it up in the dictionary. And it told me that a battle is a sustained fight between large organized armed forces, or it said, to fight or to struggle tenaciously to achieve or resist something, like battling with an illness or battling with your health or battling with a situation. And there's no doubt at all, there are things in life that just happen quickly. You know, you can, sometimes you just got to deal with a problem and, you know, you make the decision, it might be a hard call, you deal with it and it's gone. And there are other times that things come into our world and they're a little bit more protracted or they're a bit longer and it's like it's a battle. It's something that we've actually got to get a bit tenacious about and decide that we're going to deal with that thing over a longer term. And this morning, and as we go into this series, that we are in a battle, and I want to talk about having confidence in the battle, having confidence through the battle, and having confidence that you're going to get to the other side. I love what Dan said this morning. That was fantastic. A couple of weeks ago, just a week ago, really, Alex and I were away, and we went on a houseboat on the Murray River, and it was just a fantastic holiday. It was 7 nights with a heap of good mates on a houseboat on the Murray River, and we were water skiing every day, and having an absolute ball. And the thing about doing that is that the ski boat used up a fair bit of petrol. And so we were sort of looking for places down the Murray River where you could actually buy fuel for the ski boat. So we went from Echuca and we get down the river a little bit and we get to this place called Deep Creek Marina. And so we go in there and we wanted to buy fuel and a few other bits and pieces. So we load the ski boat up with all the fuel cans and we go in and we get off at the marina and there's a sort of a, you know, there's a pub there and bits and pieces. And this guy comes out of the pub and he's in a hole. I don't know how he came out of the pub and was in a ute at the same time, but he was. He must have driven his ute from the pub. Anyway, he's a classic Australian guy and he's driving a Holden V8 ute, you know, V8 Commodore ute, and he's a building contractor from Ballarat and he's obviously got shares in the pub and the marina and. You know, just a classic, a bit rough around the edges. And he's talking to us, and he's telling us some of the things that he's up to, and we're talking about the, you know, the houseboats and the river and all that, because that's what we were doing. That was our world that week. And he's built a couple of houseboats, and he's just building this new, massive, luxury houseboat. And he's talking to us about it. And he just basically got it up to a certain stage, and a log, and the river at the time is flowing quite fast. It was actually flowing at 3 or 4 kilometres an hour all the time, the river. And there were there was a lot of logs and debris coming down the river, so we had to be quite careful while we were skiing. And this big log came down and it hit the back of his houseboat and it got tangled up in something and it, you know, did some damage and he just told us how he had to fix it and what happened there. And then he said to us, he said, "Boys..." Here's the wisdom, here's the big one. He said, "Boys, let me tell you something about the Murray River." And actually, just bear with me here. I'm actually not a swearing pastor like some of my friends, but he said to us this. He said, "There's a saying that we've got here on the river, and it is shit happens on the river." And we sort of, you know, oh yeah. And a couple of days later, I was out in the ski boat, and one of the other guys was parking our houseboat, and they brought it in. And for some reason, one of the guys got up on the bank and said, no, not there, move it there. And it got moved about three or four times. And then the funny thing was, it went out, and I saw it all happening from the ski boat. There was nothing we could do about it. And it swung round, and there was a dead tree in the river. And the funny thing was, the window in the bedroom that Alex and I were sleeping in was open. And the dead tree went straight in through the window. It knocked off the blind in our room, and it went straight through the plaster in the ceiling. So we had to say, it happens on the river. And there is no doubt whatsoever that stuff happens. It happens in life. And you, as you go through life, you will find that stuff will actually happen to you. And the interesting thing is, Jesus said the same thing. Jesus, on a number of occasions, said to people, stuff will happen. In John 16:33, he said, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. And he says, in this world you will have, listen to what he says, trouble. Trouble. I mean, in Pentecostal charismatic churches, we don't like that very much. We say, in this world you will have blessing. It's true. In this world you will have a fantastic time in God. It's true. In this world, you can enjoy the presence of God. Yes, true. But also alongside those things is, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, it's going to happen on the river of life. Stuff is going to go on. There are going to be things that come your way that sometimes it's your fault. You've made a stupid decision. Sometimes you've allowed something to happen in your world that was dumb. We all do that. You're not alone there. Join the club. But other times, things just come our way for no particular reason. Things just sort of like the big log that floated down the Murray River and hit that boat. Why did it hit the boat? Just because the boat was there. No other reason than that. Sometimes stuff just happens. And there are other times things, yes, can be a little more sinister. But there is no doubt stuff is going to happen in life. And if we're trying to live our life in such a way that we think nothing is going to happen, that I'm going to be on good ship, bless me club, and everything is going to go just really, really nicely, I want to burst your bubble this morning. You are deluded. You are not living in this planet. You're living on some other planet, because it happens. It happens in life. It goes on. Stuff will happen. And what does that mean? It means that we've got to accept that stuff happens, and we've got to deal with it, and we've got to learn to be confident in the battle. We've got to learn to be confident when the stuff is happening. Confident, maybe you're having, you know, stuff goes on with our relationships, stuff goes on with our kids, stuff goes on with our health. There is stuff that will go on, but our God is bigger than those circumstances, and we can be confident in the battle. It goes on here. Jesus actually also said, via the Holy Spirit, through Peter, he said this in 1 Peter 5:8, he said, stay alert, watch out. Your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. It's interesting, isn't it? We actually do have an adversary, or we do have an enemy. And sometimes we don't like to think about that much. We just think that, yeah, it goes on. But the reality is that we do have an enemy. The devil is well and truly alive. He's well and truly active. The thing about him is he's very organized. He's strategic. He's up to all sorts of schemes. He doesn't work alone. He works with a lot of other spiritual beings that actually help him do what he does. And he actually starts working with people. And he does bring stuff our way. The reality is that he does not like the kingdom. He does not like church. He does not like people who choose to be part of the kingdom of God. And when we do that, there is no doubt whatsoever that things are going to be rallied against us. Things are going to start to happen. Things are actually going to come our way. And listen to what that verse says, though. It says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. You see, you can maintain your confidence in the battle. You can maintain your confidence when you're going through it. because Jesus actually said, he said, take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, Jesus didn't just overcome to say, I have overcome. You see, when I got to the end of the freedom ride, I thought, that's pretty cool. I've just ridden 100 Ks and I have overcome. You know, I've overcome the challenges. And yes, we were riding for a cause and there's a whole lot about that, but I can walk around feeling pretty good. I've overcome. I've made the distance. I've done it. But Jesus wasn't doing that. He wasn't just feeling good about himself. You see, when he overcame, he actually made a way that all of us who choose to be part of his kingdom, who choose to align ourselves with him, who choose to be part of his victory, it wasn't a victory for one man. It was a victory for all humanity. It was a victory for everyone who actually chooses to be part of what he's doing. So that was what, when he said, I have overcome the world, he's actually saying, if you come into the kingdom of God, you can say that I, not because I'm so smart, but I, through Jesus Christ, have overcome the world. So yes, there is an enemy. Yes, there is a devil. Yes, he can be a bit scary. Yes, he does stuff, but you can overcome. In other words, you don't need to be scared of him. You don't need to be scared of him at all, not one iota, not in the slightest. I can remember when I was a kid we went to church as a kid and started to learn about these things. And I don't know, I was probably as a kid reasonably spiritually aware. I could sort of sense when different things were going on. It wasn't like, oh, woo. It was just like, you know, I knew when the enemy was having a bit of a crack at me. And he used to try and scare me and freak me out. And I remember I used to, as about an 11-year-old, I used to do a paper round. And then after that, we used to do a milk round. And you'd have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. We'd get on our bikes and we'd ride down and to where we had to start our paper round or our milk round or whatever. And I remember, you know, the streets, you know, it was really quiet and it seemed to be just so dark. And right at that time, you know, some of it was just a little boy's fear. But there was no doubt that I actually, at that stage in life, had to deal with an enemy because I was a Christian, because I did believe in God, who was trying to freak a little boy out. And the thing is, what I'm saying is we don't want to live like a little boy that's freaked out. We actually want to live like people who have actually got victory, because we've actually got nothing to fear. Nothing to fear whatsoever, because Jesus says, I have overcome the world. In Hebrews 10:35 and 36, and we looked at this when we were launching this year in our confidence year, but it says, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patience, endurance is what you need right now. You will continue to do God's will, then you will receive all that he has promised. You see, the Jewish Christians or the Hebrews, they were up against it at this point when the writer of the Hebrews, we don't know if it was Paul or not, but when the writer was actually writing to them, and it says they had been, you know, when you look at the background, they'd been humiliated, many of their friends had been thrown in prison, they'd been through economic persecution, but the writer says, you have endured. And he says, you know, you're facing some stuff right now, and he actually brings them back round. And I don't want to encourage us to be always looking back at the past, but what he tries to do to them, he says, look where you've come from. He says, look what you've already endured. Look what you've come through. And at this point, some of them were starting to lose their confidence. Some of them were starting to throw it away. Some of them were starting to actually go back to a whole lot of religious stuff that they'd been set free from. In other words, that they were trying to do things to be right with God, and that's not what it was all about. And right at that point, when they were going through persecution, they were starting to want to go back. And the writer says, hey, don't go back there. Don't throw away your confidence. Just because it's got a little bit tough right now, that is no need to throw it all out the window. Hang in there and look at where you've come from, and you can endure. You see, confidence is gained through experience, isn't it? So the first time you do something, you know, as a kid, we'll keep with the bike riding theme. You know, when you learn to ride a bike, and I don't know, now I think kids all learn with training wheels and stuff like that. But I didn't learn with training wheels. I found a bike from up the street that was like my mate's sister's bike that was way, way too big. And we just put one another and pushed ourselves down the road till we learnt to ride it. You know, to start with, you'd go along for a bit and fall over. And you'd get up again and you'd go. You see, confidence and the skill was actually gained through experience. On this whole freedom ride thing, you see, when I first did it 2 years ago, I wasn't actually totally confident whether my old body was going to hang in there, whether it was going to hang in there for 100 Ks. And this time, the third time I've done it, I had every confidence that I was going to be all right. Was that because I'm in peak physical condition? You laugh? Of course not. But it was because I'd done it before. It was because I knew what was in front of me and I could actually draw on where I'd been from the past and actually have confidence in that was going to carry me through. Now, yesterday, even though I was a bit underprepared, we actually only started training on Monday. But I had every confidence. I had every confidence that we were going to make it because I could draw on my experience. Don't throw away your confidence in Jesus. Don't go back to your old ways. When it's happening, the past can feel attractive, can't it? You know, it's like, remember when. You know, the past through the goggles of backwards vision can look a little bit attractive. Oh, you know, you remember what I was like back then, you know, remember? Actually, even like you've had an experience with God and God has set you free from stuff and you've got involved in a church family and a church community and things have started to change and you've got a passion to start to serve in the kingdom of God and maybe your life has actually got busier than it used to be because now you don't just live for yourself, you live for Jesus and you're interested in making a difference in this city and this community and you're part of a local church and you're doing all those things and suddenly life gets a little bit busy and you can start to look back, hey, remember before we were saved? Oh, I used to be able to go to the pub every Friday night and I could watch the footy every Saturday night and I could sleep in Sunday morning and then life was so good. But you forget about how empty you used to feel. You forget about how alone you used to be. You forget what it was like to live without the presence of God inside you, changing your world. You see, the past can look attractive through the goggles of backward vision. You see, we're going to make sure we haven't got those goggles on, that we've actually got the goggles that look forward. At times like this, it's not a time to throw away your confidence just because it's happening in your world. It's a time to actually look forward and go ahead to where God is calling you to go. People, this morning, as we stood up and we raised our hands and we believed God to get through, I just want to encourage you. Don't look back to the past, but look forward to where God is calling you. Look forward to where He's taking you. Look forward to what He has for your future and allow Him to lead you through to that place. Don't throw away your confidence in Jesus. See, the Hebrews had been released from their past. They had been set free from all the complexities and the rubbish that went on with the law. And all of a sudden, they started to look back. That is one of the well-orchestrated, oldest tricks in the book of the enemy. When you start to go forward, he will do his best to bring something into your world, something into your life that will actually challenge you. And he actually wants you to look back. And he wants you to consider going back and actually throwing away your confidence instead of grabbing hold of what God has placed in front of you. Don't throw away your confidence in Jesus. Verse 36 says, patient endurance. Actually, I'll continue to move forward. You know, you might be dealing with some stuff at the moment. The temptation might be to go back to that place. But don't do it. Don't throw away your confidence. Verse 36 is patient endurance is what you need right now, so you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all He promised. Yesterday, I'll keep on this theme of the freedom ride. But as we were pushing up the hills, did you know that there are a lot, a heck of a lot, of long, steep, nasty, evil. They've been put there by the enemy. Of hills between Port Arthur and Hobart. And the best of them, this one was actually created in hell by Satan and his angels, is the Eagle Hawk Neck Hill. And it's big. And it goes up, and it goes up. And then you actually think you're up, but you find out you're not up, you're down. And it goes up around a little bit further. And as you're pedaling up that hill, you see, you actually need to endure. And the thing is, you know very well that if you just actually keep pushing your pedal down and down again and again and again and again and again, you're actually going to get to the top. You're actually going to get over it. You're going to get to the other side. And there is actually going to be a very, very short rest at the other side of it before you go up the next hill. But we've got to learn to endure. Now, it was interesting. One of the highlights for me for the whole Freedom Ride was after we went up that hill, and I rode past some other riders a little bit further up, and, you know, I was amazed. I still had a bit of breath to talk to people. You know, how you going, mate? And then this guy, he said, I am so excited. And there was a guy riding with some of his boys. And he said, my boy made it up the hill this year. He said, the last 2 years he's actually pushed his bike up the hill, but this year he made it up the hill. And, you know, I thought that, I was just so encouraged by that. But you see, that young fella, he'd gone up a couple of times. And I reckon each time he rode up a while and it got to the point he had nothing left and he started to push it up. And, you know, the next year he's a bit stronger and a bit bigger and he's experienced and he's learned how to endure and he's actually made it up right to the top of the hill. You see, we've got to learn to endure. Now, point number one, to maintain your confidence in the heat of battle, when it's all coming on, when it's happening in the river of life, build endurance into your life. Build endurance into your life. And see, the thing is, I can say, oh yeah, you need to endure, but endurance doesn't just happen. You see, endurance doesn't happen when you start to ride a bike just because you get on a bike. Endurance happens because you actually start to ride up a few hills and you start to allow that to happen in your life. You've got to build endurance into your life. James chapter 1, 2 and 3 says, dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, Jesus said there'd be trouble, let it be an opportunity for joy. Now, the first time I read this, you know, you would be with me. You think this guy's on drugs. Let it be an opportunity for joy when trouble comes your way. But I tell you what, it is so true. It says, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. This week, as we were doing our intensive training for the Freedom Ride, our intensive 4 days of training, I think Grant started a little bit before me, but Alex and I, we did 4 days of intensive training. So we started to ride, but as we pedalled along, as we started to ride, as we pedalled one day, we rode up to New Norfolk and back, and as we're pedalling up some of the hills that are between, you know, there and here, as we endured, I actually started to experience strength returning to my legs. The first, like last, when was it? But yeah, last Monday night, so only just almost less than a week ago, I borrowed the bike again off my friend, and I got on it, and I thought, wow, gee, I'm a bit out of shape here. But it was amazing. And then the next morning, I was up early again, and Grant and I rode out to Granton and back, and I'm sort of, you know, the next day we jump on the bike again, and we get out to Granton. We say, oh, let's go a little bit further. We're feeling all right. Let's go halfway to New Norfolk. We get halfway to New Norfolk. I got a flat tire. Had to fix that. We had to endure. And then we said, let's go all the way. Let's go right up there and rode right back here to Belle Reve. But as we were doing that, as we were pushing along, I could actually feel that the endurance was actually awakening muscles in my body. It was, you know, there's a thing they talk about, muscle memory, because I'd been on the bike before and all that, and strength started to return to my legs. You see, you can actually be a wimpy Christian. You can be a Christian that has got no guts about you whatsoever. You can be a Christian that won't get through anything if you don't endure something. You see, but as we endure, as we push through, as we go through the trials and the trouble, there is going to be a strength, there is going to be a steeliness, there is going to be character, there is going to be stuff that actually comes into your life and into your world that enables you to get through. And you see, after you've done that two or three times, or whatever it is, or 25 or 65 or however long it goes, you'll find that after a while, your endurance actually brings other people along. You see, when you're bike riding, you can actually draft somebody. You can get on their wheel, and because they're actually out in front and pushing along, they can actually help you carry along at the same speed as them. You see, that's the Christian life. As we endure, there will other people that will jump on board with us, and they will come along, and we're actually going to start to bring people through these troubles because we have endured. I want to encourage you, build endurance into your life. How do you build endurance into your life? You've actually got to embrace some of the things that come along. You've actually got to embrace some of the troubles that come our way, and we decide that we're going to get through this stuff. There's a saying, isn't there, while we're on the subject, if you walk through crap, keep walking. And I know the answer to many of the challenges that I've been through is to keep walking. It's to keep walking. Like all of you, I've been through challenges in business, I've been through challenges in church, I've been through challenges in family and relationships and all sorts of things. You know, As a pastor, there are stuff that we go through that you don't think, well, I didn't sign up for that, or I didn't ask for that. Why are these things happening? Well, yes, sometimes there are good reasons why they're happening, and sometimes we just don't know. But often the answer to it is just keep walking. Just keep going. Don't stop. Keep going through. If you want to get up that hill at Equal Hawk Neck, there's no point stopping. If you keep going, you will get to the other side, whatever you're going through at the moment. Maybe it's a health situation. Maybe it's a relationship problem. Maybe you're looking for work and it just doesn't seem to be coming along. I want to encourage you, keep walking, keep going, keep praying. Keep talking to God. Keep reading the Word. Keep getting other people in your world to pray with you. Keep believing. Don't stop. Keep walking. Keep going. You will get through. You will get to the other side. You know, whether it's at uni or at high school, keep walking. Maybe there's some stuff going on in your family at the moment. Maybe your kids are driving you mad at the moment. Maybe it's just that stage they're going through. But I want to encourage you, keep walking, keep going. You will get through this. They will grow up eventually. You know, you will get through. Let's decide that we're going to keep going no matter where we are, that you will get through this. And the interesting thing is, as you do that, it's not when you get to the other side and everything's all wonderful. It's as you do that, actually, strength is actually going to come into your being. That the strength of God is actually going to come into your situation as you keep walking, as you keep going. You know, we need endurance in our lives. We also need endurance in our church. You know, not every season, just like family, just like business, just like whatever. Not every season is on the crest of the wave, is it? The surfers are here, but you know, to get to the crest of the wave. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he'd gone up to the north coast of New South Wales to do some surfing. And he wasn't a very good surfer, but he was just explaining to me. He said, it was so hard. You know, we just had to paddle out every time. You'd have to paddle out through all this rubbish and slop, and you'd get nearly out there, and a wave would break on you again, and you'd get washed back in, and then you'd have to start again. And then he tells me about, because he started surfing, you know, in his 50s, and he started telling me, but there's this amazing euphoric feeling when you're standing up and the board is ripping down the face of the wave. He said, it's just nothing like it. It's amazing. You see, we're never going to ride the crest of the wave forever. We're never going to be in that place for all times. And you know, to get there, to be on that place, there's actually got to be endurance that is actually developed into our life. And it's actually keeping on going. How does the grommet, you know, get to a position where he can paddle out through the waves? He just gets knocked back time and time and time again. And he keeps paddling until he's able to get out. And you know, you watch the good surfers, and they learn how to do it, and they pretty quickly get out through the slop and are able to catch the waves. Yeah, but it comes through endurance. So in family, in business, in church, you're never going to be on the crest of the wave at all times. And you see it. You know, some people are fair weather sailors. You know, everything's wonderful. We're here. When things are not so wonderful, well, they go and find a place where it feels more wonderful, you know. Oh, yeah, my marriage is not working. My husband, he's not too flash at the moment. I'm going to go and find another one. You know, oh gee, church is a bit hard at the moment. They actually asked me to get on the roster and do all this stuff, and oh yeah, I'll go and find another one where it's easier. I'll go to a smaller church where there's not so much stuff to do. You know, all these things actually come into our thinking. But if we're gonna get strong, how are we gonna do it? We're going to endure. We're gonna endure. Number two, to maintain your confidence in battle, number two, stay alert. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, stay alert, watch out, the enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Come on, let's not be asleep at the wheel. So we know we have an enemy, we know he doesn't like us, we know he's trying to catch us out, we know he has carefully crafted plans. The devil has his best success when we're not alert. I reckon time and time again, stuff has happened that's gone on in my life, and I thought, wow, how did I let that happen? And often it's because you get a bit slack, and you're not alert, and just something sort of sneaks up on you, and next thing, bang, there it is. But we've actually, yeah, I know we're all going to make mistakes, and we're not going to get it right every single time, but what I want to say is we've got to be alert. We're not asleep at the wheel because we know we've got an enemy and we know that he's around. And to stay alert, how do we do that? Verse 9 says, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. In other words, pray, read the word, allow the Holy Spirit to actually heighten your sensitivity. Jesus said, take heart, I have overcome the world. So if we want to be alert, if we want to do that, we've actually got to do things that allow us to be alert. And some of those things are, you know, they are the simple stuff. They are the basic stuff. Why do I go on and on and on and on and on about praying and reading the Word? Because it's important. Because we won't grow without it. Because it gives us access to the presence of God. Because it opens us up to what He's wanting to do in our lives. And it's the easiest thing not to do. When things are going all right, time and time again, I remember as we've been through various struggles, sometimes there was a time in my life where we were going through some stuff, and I used to go to, I used to go up onto the domain, and you know, I'd walk around, and I'd pray, and I'd read my word, and I'd be singing out to God, and you're doing that, and you get through that situation, and what happens, it sort of slips back a little bit. You know, the energy and maybe the desperation and of your prayer, and you're reading the word and it starts to slip away, and then you haven't read your word for 3 days, and you haven't read it for 5 days, and you haven't read it for 2 weeks, and you haven't read it for a month, and it's cool, I'm just praying to God as I'm going. And all of a sudden our alertness has just slipped away, and the next thing, bang, something has hit us from the side, and you think, I didn't see that coming. It's because we let our alertness slip. If we want to be confident in the battle, we've got to be alert and we've got to stand firm. We've got to be people of faith. But how do we do that? We do the basic stuff. We read the word, we pray, we ask the Holy Spirit to heighten our sensitivity. It's the same with, I find, you know, when I'm in a better shape physically, when I'm training, when I'm doing stuff, I'm actually in a better place in a mental situation. And I think it's the same spiritually. When we're actually in the Word, when we're doing a bit of work, when we're doing a bit of resistance training, our awareness and our sharpness actually rises up and we can see these things coming. So let's be alert. Let's do the basic stuff if we're going to be confident in the battle. To maintain confidence in the battle, number three, you need to know who your enemy is. It was interesting the other day, I was listening to the news, and it was funny because I've been watching, you know, what's been going on in Libya and, you know, other places across the Middle East and Northern Africa. And I've been watching these rebels as they, you know, they're pretty unorganized, and as they go around. And every time they've got the camera on them, they've got their guns and they're not shooting anybody. They're just firing them in the air. They go, hey, boys, bang, 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 bang. And they're firing off rounds and rounds of these bullets into the air. And I've been just a little bit amused by it, but I thought, what do they do that for? Anyway, they've got their reasons. But it was interesting the other day, some of the NATO planes came over and they were obviously wanting to bomb some of Gaddafi's installations or something like that. And the rebels saw the planes go over. Oh, beauty, boys, here come the planes. Anyway, they put their guns up in the air, bang, 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 bang. And so what happened is the NATO plane saw, oh yeah, we're being fired on. So they actually returned fire on the very rebels that they were trying to protect. You see, in a battle, it helps if you know who your enemy is, doesn't it? You see, that those guys, those NATO guys, wouldn't have wanted to return fire at the rebels, but because they were under fire, they got confused about who the enemy actually was. Now, there's so much we could talk about that. That happens in church life and Christianity all the time. Is that sometimes we're running around and we're firing off rounds into the air, bang, 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 and we lose track of who the enemy actually is. You see, it's important that we understand who the enemy is. And Ephesians 6:12 says this. It says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers of this dark world, against evil spirits." The Amplified says, "For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents." You see, the people in your world, people in our church, your kids, ultimately, they're not your enemies. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. You say, yeah, Dave, tell that to me. My boss, he is a real mongrel. He makes my life hard. Or at school, the teachers. I've got this lecturer. He hates me. Or the kids, they just feel like they're evil. What's the word say? But it says, ultimately, the people are actually not our enemies. See, but the enemy, he has spiritual forces. They're well organized. They have a plan. And people are often unknowingly being manipulated and being brought to do things. See, and if we're ignorant to the fact, you probably are not winning the battle. See, if we're ignorant to the fact that these things are going on, we're not winning the battle. You see, the thing about church is the devil despises it. He will do anything he can to make it ineffective. And so many times I've seen stuff going on in church life. And you know, just sort of little frustrating things that happen, and you know, you start to try and address them at different places, and there's so many times I've actually called the team together and I said, hey, we've got something going on here. It's not spooky spiritual. It's just that there's been a bit of manipulation going on in the spiritual world, and stuff is happening. And time again, when we've actually as a team, we've stood together. And we've said, we're going to take authority over that because greater is he who is in us. In other words, Jesus is in us than he who is in the world. And we've actually taken authority over that. And it doesn't mean that you don't have to do practical things, because a lot of the problems are quite physical and quite practical. But when we first take authority in the spiritual realm, when we understand who we're fighting against, it actually helps us so much to have confidence in the battle. I want to encourage you to do that. If the band wants to join me, please. Number four, to maintain confidence in the heat of battle, number four, believe if God is for you, who can be against you? It's a famous old verse, but it's so important. Romans 8:31 says that we are more than conquerors. It says, what shall I say then in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And it goes on, listen to me, read it from verse 35. It says, can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us? If we have trouble, calamity, or we're persecuted, or we're hungry, or we're destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death, as the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed. This is talking to people who are really up against it. For your sake we are killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. And then verse 37, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor demons, nor fears about today, or worries about tomorrow, or even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Is there anybody going through anything outside of those things? You know, so much of what is going on in our world is yes, there are things that go on in the spiritual world. There are worries about today. There are worries about tomorrow. There is stuff happening. And Paul actually says to the Romans, nothing at all can separate you from the love of God. You see, we're talking about spiritual enemies. There is a limit to their power. But there is no limit to God's power. There is no limit to His love. There is no limit to His love for you. There is no limit whatsoever. Yes, we've got to be smart. Yes, we've got to understand there is an enemy. Yes, we've got to understand He's organized. Yes, we've got to understand that He doesn't like you. Yes, we've got to understand that He'll bring things against you. But there is a limit to His power. He is not unlimited. But God's love for you is unlimited. You cannot go anywhere, you cannot do anything, you cannot find yourself in a place or a position where you can actually get away or be separated from God's love. There is no spiritual force in this world that can come against you. There is nothing that can be summoned up against you, no matter what you're going through, whether it's relationship related, whether it's health related, what related, whatever it is. There is nothing that can be summoned against you that can separate you from God's love and His understanding and His plan for your world. Nothing whatsoever. God's love for you, God's plan for you is totally unlimited. There is absolutely no end to it. There is no end to it. Let's receive that our God has unlimited plans for our life. As we finish, fourth thing, to maintain your confidence in the heat of battle. Number four, be convinced. Listen to this. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Yeah. He didn't say, I think nothing will separate us. Or, I reckon she'll be right. I reckon God will come through. I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, neither fears of today or worries about tomorrow, not even powers of hell can separate you from God's love. And then he goes on, does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, persecution, or are hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or are threatened with death? He's saying, yeah, it happens. It will happen. It's going to happen. The river of life, stuff is going to happen. We're in a battle, but no, despite all these things. Despite all these things. Regardless of these things. Regardless of these things. You have been made more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Tell you what, you can be confident. You can be confident in the heat of battle. Let's stand.